Good evening. It's great to see all of you here tonight. It's great to have this opportunity to come and to preach and to be able to worship with y'all. Though I do not know many of you by name or by face, I'm able to call you my brothers and my sisters because we serve the same God. We have the same Father. We have the same Savior. And we have the same hope. And so it's just a great opportunity for me to be able to come and to worship and to speak with y'all. And I would like to thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity to come here and to be with y'all and attempt to bring a message from God's Word. As Bob said, my name's Trey Haskett, and I'm from Houston, Texas. Texas, of course, where everything is bigger and better. I'm 19 years old. I am currently a student at Florida College, and I've had the opportunity this summer to preach at Gardendale and to work with them with Terry Benton in a preaching training program. And it's just been a great and awesome opportunity. But like I said, I'm glad to see all of you out here tonight. I'm glad to be able to have this opportunity to stand in front of you. It's truly my pleasure. Tonight, as you can see on the screen behind me, the title of our sermon is Out of Darkness and Into Marvelous Light. This is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, which will be our main text tonight. I'll be reading from there in just a second. I'm using the English Standard Version for those of you who would like to follow along. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people from his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." We know that we as Christians are called out of darkness. We are called out. The word for church in the Greek language is ekklesia, which literally just means to be called out. We are called out of darkness into marvelous light, and that is what I want to talk about tonight. As a child, I was greatly afraid of the dark, as many of us are when we're young. I could not be in any place where it was dark. I always had to have my mom or my dad, whoever was tucking me in at night before I would go to sleep. They would always check in my closet, under my bed, in my dresser drawers, behind my dresser, anywhere where a monster or anybody bad could be to attack me. I would always have them check there because I was scared of the darkness. I was scared of what I couldn't see, and I was scared of the unknown. And as children, we are afraid of the dark. And I want to suggest to you tonight that now as adults, we are afraid of light. And that might sound weird, but stick with me for just a second. As adults, we are afraid of light. We are afraid of stepping out. We're afraid of stepping out of our comfort zone. And we are afraid of what the light might reveal. We are afraid of being wrong. And now those aren't accusations. Those aren't personal accusations, more so than they are general statements about our nature, our human nature. If we were to consider these things, and I would like us to consider these things, we need to ask ourselves, are we afraid of stepping out? Are we afraid of leaving our comfort zone? Are we afraid of what the light might reveal? Whether we have some hidden sins or some embarrassing things that we don't want to be brought about to the light, are we afraid of what the light might reveal? Are we afraid of being wrong? Oftentimes, we don't want to look at the truth. We don't want to look at the light because we are afraid that we might be wrong. We've gotten comfortable on our islands where we're at, our islands of darkness, that we often don't think to step off of them. We've gotten used to the darkness. And oftentimes we would rather walk in that which we do not know, rather than knowing that in which we walk. And meaning, we would rather not know the vile ways of our sinful nature. We would rather not know. We would rather not be told that we are walking in darkness. We would rather just walk and not be told, not know these things. So we are afraid of the light. We're afraid of the light. We're afraid of what it might reveal. But the biblical view of light is not something to be afraid of. It is something to embrace, something to seek after. Light should guide us. It should be a guide unto our feet. If you'll turn with me in Psalms, the 119th chapter, reading in verse 105, it says, "Your word as a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This is speaking of God's word being a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, something to guide us, something in which we are to walk. And we know that we are to walk in the light. We are to walk in the light. It says this in Ephesians 5:8. If you'll turn there in your Bibles. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. Actually, we'll go back a little bit and we'll start in verse 6. Let no one deceive you. with empty words. For because these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners of this. We are told not to become partners with the sons of disobedience. These are the sons, these are the people who are walking in darkness. We are not to be in the darkness. Rather, it says, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. But now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. We are told to walk in the light. We were once in darkness, but now we are in light. So we are told to walk in the light. Also, 1 John verses 1-7 further supports this idea. First John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we were to look through the beginning of this chapter, it would talk about how God is the light and how there is no darkness in him. And we see that God is the light and that we are to walk in light. The light described in Psalms 119 is we know to be the word of God. Also, if you'll turn with me in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the light is described a different way. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the light, the life of light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. We know this light to be Christ. We know this light to be Jesus. And we are to walk in the light. When considering walking in the light, we must consider that we have to walk in all of the light. We have to walk in all of the light. We cannot just walk in parts of it. Otherwise, we are just walking in a dim and faded light. And that might actually be worse than darkness. Oftentimes, we will look at the light, we'll look at the Word of God, and we might pick and choose what we want to follow. We might pick and choose what we want to believe, what we want to listen to. And so we are just following a dim or faded light. If you imagine a path on which light is shining just at different portions, but only in that portion, there's only light there. And so you're walking in the light, and then all of a sudden, there's a part of the path where the light is not shining, and there is darkness. And you cannot see what is before you. You cannot see what you're about to step into, whether it be a hole or a root that you might trip on or a snake. You cannot see what is in the darkness. Therefore, we must walk in all the light. We must have our paths guided by light. It's easier for us to be led astray when we just pick and choose, when we just follow a faded light. It's easier for us to fall when we just think we are in the light. Also, when considering God's word being a lamp unto our feet and a light to our paths, we must look before we step. We must look before we step if we want to please God. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Proverbs 4 and 26 says, ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Here we have a command to ponder the path of our feet. This is what is written for us in wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Ponder the path of your feet. That way your ways will be sure. And then we're given a warning not to stray, not to swerve to the right or the left. I was watching the U.S. Olympic team today, the U.S. Olympic women's rowing team, and they were just awesome. They were awesome, and they were killing their opponents in the prelims for the rowing competition. And the thing that was great, they were all moving in unison, but the most awesome thing is that they stayed completely straight the entire time. They did not swerve to the right or the left. Had they done so, they would have been disqualified. They might not have made the gains that they did. They might not have won in the way that they did. But they continued straight on their path to victory. We must, too, stay straight on our path to victory. We must, too, heed this warning that is here for us in Proverbs, not to swerve to the right or to the left. The Israelites oftentimes swerve to the right or the left in trying to follow God. The word Israel, the name Israel, actually means struggles with God, and this was given to Jacob when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and he struggled with God. And it's just interesting to think about these people that God has set apart to be holy, and they're constantly struggling with him, constantly going to the left or to the right of what he has commanded, what he has willed for them to do. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 17, we see some judgment about this. Judges chapter 2 and verse 17, "Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they abhorred after other gods and bowed down before them. And they soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so." When considering walking in the light, we must walk straight. We must continue walking in this path, or else we are walking in darkness. Like the Israelites, we turn from the light to the right or to the left. I forgot I had this clicker here. There we go. Anyways, when we are walking in the light, we know that we have come out of darkness. Out of darkness. If we read again in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, again it says, "You were called out of darkness into his marvelous light." We know that we were called out of darkness. And we don't truly appreciate light and its value until it's contrasted with darkness. It makes me think of the verse where it talks about, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it talks about the one that's forgiven much loves much. The one that is forgiven much appreciates what has been done for him. We too appreciate what has been done for us when we see light contrasted with darkness. I had the opportunity the other day to go with several of my friends. We went into this cave, and it was just so awesome, all the things that we were able to see. But it was pitch black. We decided to turn out our flashlights for a second, and it was pitch black. And ladies and gentlemen, there's not a thing as awesome as standing there and not being able to see your hand in front of your face. It was truly an awesome and humbling experience not to be able to see and to crave that light and to realize how awesome it was. And once we turned those lights back on, we truly appreciated the light within the darkness. Also, we know that us as Christians, we are called out of this darkness. We are called out of this darkness. Look in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 15. It says, "And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise, stand up on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to these things which you have seen me, and to those who in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they might turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, they might receive forgiveness of their sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" We see here that we are drawn, we are called out from darkness, from the power of Satan, from our sin. And that is the darkness to which the light is contrasted. Our lives without God, living in darkness, living in sin, living in vanity, that is what we are called out of. We are called out of that into light. Also look with me in Colossians chapter 1. In verse 13. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We see here also that we have the forgiveness of sins, that we are called out of this darkness, out of this darkness, out of the power of Satan, into the light. And God delivers us from darkness. We see this throughout our lives. There's been experience throughout our lives where we have felt God's presence, God's providence, where he's delivered us. He has also delivered the Israelites. He delivered them several times, whether it be in Egypt, in slavery, or from the Babylonian captivity, or over their enemies in wartime. He delivered his people. He delivers them from darkness. He delivers us too. And therefore, if God is delivering us from darkness, and if he's delivering us into his marvelous light, we must cast off all the works of darkness. Look in Romans 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 13. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We are called out of darkness, and therefore we should cast off darkness. We should not live in the darkness which we once lived. We are free from the bondage of sin. We are free from that darkness. We are being called into a marvelous light, like it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We're called out of darkness and into a marvelous light. Part of being in this marvelous light, part of becoming this marvelous light, we have to seek the light. We must seek the light. Turn with me to Psalms again. Psalms chapter 119. Psalm 119 and verse 130. The unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. This is similar to Psalm 119, 105, which we read earlier. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But this is telling us the unfolding of your word is light. The reading and the studying, the unfolding of these pages is what gives us light. In this book, is light. This is the word of God. This is Christ's teaching. And this is where we get light from. And so we are to seek light. We are to search the word. Also, in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, we are told to seek the Lord. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We are to seek the Lord. We are to seek his light. And we are to do this because we love him. But also we have to understand that there's a great reward in it for us. Hebrews 11:6 says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we want that reward. We want that reward. We want to come out of darkness and into his light so that we might obtain that reward. We know that reward is the freedom from sin. Part of it is the freedom from sin. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We see from here that we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to this darkness. We are being called out of this darkness. And that is part of the reward, is that we don't have to live in this darkness anymore. We don't have to live in the guilt of our sins because we are called out of that. We are called out of this darkness. The second part to our reward is found in John chapter 8 and verse 12. When we are described as the light of the world. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We know that we will have the light of life. We will have eternal life in Christ Jesus if we follow him, if we walk in the light, if we seek the light. The second part of this is we have to become the light. We have to become the light. And this partly is determined by what we take in. This is partly determined by what we let into us, by the things we surround ourselves with. This is that partly determines who we become. Look in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 34. It says, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part in the dark, it will be wholly bright, as a lamp when it's with, as a lamp with its rays gives you light." We need to be careful of what we let in. We need to be careful that we're only letting in light. And part of that comes from seeking the light. If we're seeking the light will be in us. If we're seeking the word will dwell in us. If you look in Colossians 3:16. Give me 1 second, I'm sorry. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Are we letting the word of God dwell in us richly? Are we taking in righteousness? Are we taking in the light? Finally, we must share the light. We must share this awesome light that we have received, this awesome thing that gives us light, that gives us life, and that gives us hope. We're to share this. In Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and place it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We are to be lights, and we are to shine for everybody. We're not to hide our light. We're not to hide this awesome truth, this awesome word, this awesome gift that we've been given. We're to share it. We're to shine. Part of that is being an example. Part of that is through our example. If we go back and read in Ephesians 5, in verse 8 again. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. It says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good, all that is right, and all that is true." We're to walk in the light. In our example, we're to show others the light. We're also to go and to speak and to proclaim this light to others. We see in Matthew 28, in what is known as the Great Commission, where Jesus is talking to his apostles, he says to go and to preach to all the world. We have the same command. We have the same duty to share the light that we have been given, this awesome light that gives us hope and that gives us life. We are to share it. Saul, on the road to Damascus, saw the light, and it brought him to his knees, and he didn't eat for 3 days. He didn't eat or drink, and all he did was pray and meditate and focus on the light that he had seen. Does the light have the same effect on us? This light that we have been given is an awesome, awesome thing. And it is just so great. And we see that there was a price paid. There was a price paid for us to have this light. We see that in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but inherit everlasting life." God sent his Son, the light, down into the world, into the darkness for us, so that we might have life, that we might no longer live in darkness. And this is our call. God has called us out of the dark. He has called us out of the dark and into his marvelous light. if you've not yet stepped into the light, if you've seen the light, if you've seen it from a distance and realize its greatness and its awesomeness, but you have not yet stepped into the light, you're not yet a follower, a seeker of the light, I urge you to do so. I urge you to put off your darkness, to repent of your sins, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Become the light. That is God's charge to you tonight. Become the light that he has desired for you to be. Be called out of darkness as he has desired for us to be. If you have once decided to go down this path, to have the light your way, but you have strayed, you have veered to the right or to the left, turn back and go back to the light. Go back to the light. Go back to that path for which you were made and repent of your sins. If there's anything that we can do, if we can be of any assistance for you tonight, if we can pray with you or for you or be of any service, we ask you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.